You got to start from the bottom up and you got to work hard, and it's a lot of time, perseverance, meet people, go and talk to people, try to learn from them.
Welcome to the Horse Trailer Post podcast, the show where we cover anything and everything related to the horse trailer industry. I'm your host, Brad Heath, owner and operator of Double D Trailers with over 25 years of experience in the horse industry. I'm excited to bring you the latest news, tips to everything equine. I can't wait to share my passion for horses and horse safety with all of you. So saddle up, join me every other week for the Horse Trailer Post podcast.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining the Horse Trailer Post podcast today. We have with us Sawyer Hennig. And Sawyer, welcome to the podcast.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So Sawyer, she's from Cutting Horse Championship to TV Stunts, NFR, and your journey, it just sounds like a whirlwind of equestrian adventures. Can you give our listeners a brief overview of your path in the horse world?
Yeah, it's kind of been all over the place. Luckily, my mom put me on a horse before I could even walk. So I think that was just came naturally. But I grew up riding cutting horses, competing here and there. I started my first national finals rodeo carrying sponsor Victory Laps was when I had just turned 18 years old. I did that for 10 years. So that was pretty much my second type of equestrianship, with starting with cutting and then the national finals rodeo. And then I received an opportunity to be a stunt double on TNT's show Dallas for season 4. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I did a little bit more of the NFR for 10 years and then went right back into cutting. And I think that's where my true passion I found out was. And so I'm all in right now. I'm absolutely eaten up and obsessed with the sport.
Yeah, you're loving it. Good.
You love it. So I think you have to love stuff like that to.
You really do. Yeah, you really do. The world of cutting, it's so specific and requires an immense amount of trust between the rider and the horse. For those who have never done that, like myself, can you explain the basics of cutting and what makes a good cutting horse?
Of course. So cutting actually came from the olden days, whenever you would have a herd of cows out in a pasture and you needed to pull one off to doctor it. And so we turned it into a sport where you get to watch the athletic ability of the horse keeping a cow from returning to the herd. To me, it's very much described as like a cat and mouse game. These horses are very cowy. It's naturally bred into them. And so it's super exciting to raise them, train them, and then essentially trust that they're going to love the job as much as you hope that they do. And so trust comes naturally with the process. And when you're in the show pen, your hand has to be down essentially the majority of the time. And so you're using what you've trained them to do, your feet and your body language. And then the majority of it comes down to trust. So it's a bond you build with them. And not everybody gets along with every horse. Some horses like different people better than others. And there's a few I've come across that I just don't click with. And right. Then some that I absolutely trust. And that makes it all the more fun when you know you're going down there with a teammate.
Yeah. Now, you have won a world championship once in the past. Nope, two times in the past. When you were younger, and I read online, I Googled your name and it popped up. You won a triple crown recently. Can you elaborate more on that?
Yes. So in the cutting world, it's a dream to win a triple crown event in Fort Worth, Texas. And I don't know how it happened. I thought I was truly living a dream. I showed up to a finals there. I was having a great show, probably the best show of my life. And I was just thankful to be in the finals. I had three horses in the finals. And I won my first triple crown event that morning. And I was on cloud nine. I didn't think there was any way to come off of cloud nine. And right after winning the first one, I came right back in the next event and won a second triple crown event. So within hours of each other, which I know it. Subtle brag.
Let's give credit where credit's due. I mean, yeah, we're not bragging. We're just stating facts here.
Right. It's been a month ago and I'm still living on cloud nine. I don't think it's a day I will ever forget. I mean, my first run, I bawled, and my second run, I then bawled like a baby again in a surreal day.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on that. And I think it's just super cool, super awesome that you can say, yeah, I've won a couple of world championships, but I also won, you know, the triple crown. So, wow.
Yeah. That's the ultimate goal for the cutting world is to win what we call the big pen. So it was a dream come true for sure.
Yeah. So moving on to Dallas, growing up as a kid, my parents loved Dallas back in the 80s or 90s. And then they did the remix back in maybe 10 years ago or so. And of course, I watched every single episode. How did that come about? You know, you jumped from competitive cutting to working on a television show. And did those skills transfer easily between the two?
I think it did. I think, in the equine industry, we just have a natural love for all horses and all animals. And so it was helpful to kind of just do what I do. I fell into the right time, the right place with the right people, and an opportunity came about. And I feel like life is so short that if you don't jump at opportunities, all you have is regret in the end. So you have to take them as they come. My mom was actually a stunt double on the original Dallas.
Yeah.
And so they had a few characters that transferred into the remake, as well as they brought a lot of the behind the scenes people from the original one as well. So my mom had nothing to do with me even getting the opportunity. It was just a really cool way of it working out. So it was a great experience. It was a lot of hours, a lot of work, early mornings, late nights, a lot of sit around and wait. I gained a new respect for television because I had no idea how much time really goes into just making just one episode, much less a scene.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
A lot.
Lots of moving parts that most of us probably don't recognize. Speaking of behind the scenes, anything, a memorable experience while working you care to share with us?
It was just surreal getting to meet a lot of the people there. It was a great experience. I wish it would have lasted longer. To be completely upfront, I've never even watched the show. I just enjoyed the moment. I know. I am the type of person that
we're gonna cut that out. We're gonna cut that out.
I try to not take any day for granted, and so I just am living in the moment. And any opportunity comes my way, I try to say yes to it and just enjoy it. You never know what can come from anything, so you might as well.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And you were there. That was when they were filming with Larry Hagman, and then he passed away in the season.
Right. It was incredible to be able to have the opportunity to be around him. He's such a legend in that industry. So
yeah, good. Being a 10-time national finals rodeo flag girl sounds fun. What preparation and training go into that role? And how do you manage the pressure, especially at such a significant event?
It is a lot of pressure. When I tell you that even year 10, my palms were still sweating come round one. That event is the Super Bowl of rodeo. So to be able to be even just having a small part of it was extremely exciting. And it was another weird coincidence. My mom did the same thing when she was younger as well.
No way. Right?
Yes, she did all of the NFR flags and then went on to do all of the NFR broadcasting, which I didn't partake in that. But it was really cool to once again have the same life lineup. But that event is iconic. And the luckily getting to be around Dallas as well, you realize the importance of timing and doing your job and remembering who you are and what you stand for. And you're there not only representing yourself, but an organization and a huge event. And it was exciting, but at the same time, it was a job for me. So I made sure to have fun, but also do you know, the job, it's, you have so many people that are there for an experience and people watching on TV. And so you just try to put on a good show, which again, it was another level of the equine industry that I got to experience. And I think in those situations, we get put on black horses that come from the different organizations of the rodeo world. And we don't know those horses. Luckily, I was able to get one that I would get to know, but you have to re-get to know them every December. Right. And so get put in an arena with 20,000 fans, lights, cameras, fireworks, a lot of loud music. Trust is at an all-time high in those moments, and stuff can go awry really quickly. And so you just trust and pray that the horse you're on is going to have your back in that moment. Right. Fingers crossed.
That's right. Well, speaking of jobs, and you touched on this a little bit, in both cutting and stunt work, you have that element of unpredictability. So how do you mentally prepare for a competition or a stunt scene, knowing that things may not go as planned or as hoped for?
It's a mental game more than anything. Whenever I describe cutting specifically to my friends and family who aren't in the sport, I tell them it's such a mental game and they don't understand, but I'm a very competitive person. I think I hate losing more than I love winning. Yeah. And I think people who are competitive, that just comes, you know, natural. So mentally, I have to get myself in the mind of doing the best I can. And that goes with anything in life. As long as you're doing the best you can, that's really all that matters. You learn from your mistakes, you go forward and you try to work on that the next time. And so mentally, I just try to stay positive in situations, do the best I can, learn from my mistakes. And if it works out, great. If it doesn't, unfortunately, you know, I can try again. So.
Right, right. I'm sure over the course of your career, you've, you know, had the pleasure of working with lots of different horses. Can you share a story maybe about a particular one or a couple that just, you know, stand out to you?
Yeah, my favorite horse right now, and probably because he just made my dreams come true, is Hell Yeah. Mainly, I love his name too. It's fitting, but his barn name is Ricky Bobby. And he is a horse that my trainer, Adon Benuelos, always told me, I feel like he intimidates you. And I think it's because I didn't trust him. It was the one horse that I just didn't feel like I trusted. But right. The more I was showing him, the more I was starting to feel that level of trust. And the last week of the Summer Spectacular, the Triple Crown event in Fort Worth, it was a hard week for me personally in life. It was a struggle. And cutting was my escape. The horses, it's just, I mean, they're a therapy animal for a reason. And right before I walked to the herd on Hell Yeah, I just felt finally 100% trust with the horse. I just felt like in that moment, he had my back and there, I was just going to go have fun. And he made it the most fun ride of my entire life. I didn't even care what score popped up. I didn't care what anyone thought, what anyone said. I just knew I just had the most fun ride of my entire life. And it paid off. It was the highest score I've ever marked. And it was a second Triple Crown event win. And that horse took care of me from start to finish. And so it just goes back, you know, into trusting the animal. I felt it more than ever in that moment. And so that's a horse that he'll forever have a big part of my heart.
Yeah. I'm going to have to watch the video on that ride. I'm sure there's some online somewhere.
Yes, sir.
You were speaking of having a challenging time or a challenging week. So can you tell us about a particularly challenging moment in your career and how you overcame it?
I think that week was probably
that
one
was
of the
worst. Yeah. Good. All right.
In family life, it was one of the worst weeks of my entire life. And I don't know how, thank God for the horses. Yeah. I mean, they were there for me when I needed it. And the fact that it paid off was just the icing on the cake.
Yeah, absolutely. Young riders, for young riders and equestrians, someone who's looking to, you know, have a career like yours, what advice can you offer?
You got to start from the bottom up. And you got to work hard, and it's a lot of time, perseverance, meet people, go and talk to people, try to learn from them. I've had multiple trainers. Luckily, I'm with one in a barn right now that has taught me so much. And I try to listen and I ask questions, and I would get on as many horses as you possibly can. At no point, even in your, you know, the highest of the highs of your career, can you ever stop learning or ever stop, you know, trying to get better. And so I say, take every opportunity you have, even if it's in different equine industries, you can pretty much learn something from all of it.
Yeah. So lastly, what's next for Sawyer Hennig? And you have anything exciting opportunities coming up? Where are you heading?
Yeah, I am going, I'm taking a little break until October. My horse is needed a much deserved break. And I have the Brazos Bash in Weatherford at Yellowstone's director, Taylor Sheridan, puts on a really big competition in Weatherford in October. And right. So I will start preparing for that. And the last 2 years I've taken a break in between the Summer Spectacular and the Bash, and I won the Bash the past 2 years in a row. So I figured I'm just going to keep, like, selfishly, I just want to be in the show pen every day. If I could be in the show pen every day, that would be a dream for me. I'm going to try to stick to the same plan that's been working. And I don't know, I just enjoy the sport and I enjoy the horses. And without the horses, we don't have the sport. So I'm just going to enjoy the ride. I don't really try to set any goals for myself, because then I feel like mentally you kind of get blinders on. And so I just try to enjoy it. And if things work out, great. If they don't, you learn from it and you keep persevering.
Yep, move on. Well, you're certainly, it shows that you're passionate about what you do and what you enjoy. And I'm sure you'll continue to be an inspiration for our industry, to both young and old. So it's really been my pleasure to talk with you. And thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Bye. See you later.